From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Recently, Dr. Cairns began a series of studies in the Lord's Prayer, messages designed to teach God's people how to pray according to God's Word. Today, he continues a message entitled The Certainty and Nature of Answered Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Go, Take Your Property. The text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 21. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord the God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. There is a heritage of grace which we ought to be bold enough to win for our possession. All that one believer has gained is free to another. We may be strong in faith, fervent in love, and abundant in labor. There is nothing to prevent it. Let us go up and take possession. The sweetest experience and the brightest grace are as much for us as for any of our brethren. Jehovah has set it before us. No one can deny our right. Let us go up and possess it in His name. The world also lies before us to be conquered for the Lord Jesus. We are not to leave any country or corner of it unsubdued. That slum near our house is before us, not to baffle our endeavors, but to yield to them. We have only to summon courage enough to go forward, and we shall win dark homes and hard hearts for Jesus. Let us never leave the people in a lane or alley to die because we have not enough faith in Jesus and His gospel to go up and possess the land. No spot is too benighted, no person so profane as to be beyond the power of grace. Cowardice begone, faith marches to the conquest.
Thank you.
if your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, the Lord Jesus said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which seeth in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Yet if God's people are honest, they often find a tension between God's promises to answer prayer and their experience of those answers. From the biblical record, as well as from the testimony of subsequent history, Dr. Cairns demonstrates the evidence that God does indeed answer prayer. However, an all-wise Father knows what would be good for His people and what would harm them in some ways. Now, to continue this message, the certainty and nature of God's answers to prayer, here is Dr. Cairns.
Mark 11, verse 24 is one of the most famous statements of the Savior on the matter of prayer. "What things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." I just need to interject in passing, believe that you receive them is not make yourself believe you receive them. It's not pretend you believe you receive them. It's not Hollywood acting as if you believe. It is pray in faith. That's what he's saying. "And ye shall have them." You ask and you receive. We read this morning in Matthew chapter 7, "What man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone?" If you come Maybe I'm giving myself away in my time period and the low stratum of Belfast society in which we lived. But in those days in Northern Ireland, not long after the Second World War, when America was getting back into prosperity, or going further into prosperity, over there we felt that every American was a millionaire, and everything was rich and big and wonderful in this country. If you just wanted to be a millionaire, you just came to America. That's the view we had. We actually believed that Americans were so rich that they just ditched their cars after 2 years. They would just blow them off the edge of a precipice or something to get a new car because they didn't need the old one. That's honestly what we believed as kids in Northern Ireland. And it was nice to know that somebody somewhere had plenty, because post-war Britain was a grim, grim place. And until the 1950s, you had to have little coupons to buy food, to buy clothing. And when you wanted a snack between meals, you didn't get a candy bar. You would come, and the cry in Belfast, it sounds so strange nowadays, children would come, you'd hear them coming to their parents, their mother usually, saying, "Mommy, I want a piece." P-I-E-C-E. And it was abbreviated for a piece of bread, butter, well, margarine, and jam. Preserves, whatever you call it. Can you imagine a child coming in, asking for bread, and its mother gives it a stone? And the child goes away with a beaming face and say, "My mommy answered my cry." No, no. If your child asks bread, will you give it a stone? What is Jesus saying here? He says, you ask for bread, you get bread. You ask for a fish, you don't expect a snake. What is it for God to answer prayer? He gives the things we ask for. What is it for God to answer prayer? It is that He causes our deliverance from need and danger. In that famous Psalm 50, verse 15, He says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." It's God causing our deliverance. What is it for God to answer prayer? Quite simply, it is God giving a demonstration of His divine power, a proof of His divine love and care on our behalf. In the words of Jeremiah 33, verse 3, "Call upon me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things," or "great and hidden things, which thou knowest not." Call upon me, I will answer thee, I will demonstrate to thee the great things of God. I'll show my power and my love and concern for the people of God. Now, this is what the Bible means by God answering prayer. And when I say God does answer prayer, this is how I mean it. In all these senses, God indeed does answer prayer. In other words, answers to prayer are real and objective. They are not merely subjective states of mind. They are not mere notions that we get. Answers to prayer are not us talking ourselves into a better frame of mind about a problem. History affords us many examples of God's answering prayer. You think of Abraham praying for Sodom. Let's select that as one of the, you'd say, praying in a lost cause. Here's something that will shake anybody's little neat box of theological systems. Do we believe in the eternal sovereignty, predestinating decree of God? Sure we do. But nonetheless, here's a city doomed, marked for judgment. Abraham prays for it. And as long as he prayed, God answered. What is it telling you? It's telling you, don't make your theological system an excuse for the carnality of a prayerless life. Don't make your belief in divine election the reason why you don't pray for sinners, because the real reason is a lack of love for sinners. And let's be a little more specific here. Don't let your loathing for the sin be an excuse not to pray for sinners. For whom was Abraham praying? He was praying for sodomites. That's who he was praying for. He was praying for the San Francisco of his day. He was praying for the gay pride people who came out in droves, in public demonstration, willing to murder if they didn't get their way to go ahead and exhibit their lustfulness. These are the foulest, filthiest, wickedest, most devilish creatures you could think of on the face of the earth, and without making the slightest excuse for their sin, Abraham prays to God for them. Prays for Sodom. I'm very tempted to stop off and do what a preacher shouldn't do, having announced a text in Matthew to go on to preach in a text in Genesis. Man, we can wrap ourselves up in holy shawls and be nothing but worm-eaten hypocrites in the sight of God. We can make our holy hatred of sodomy an excuse for lack of prayer when God gives us the example of the friend of God who prayed for the very city of Sodom itself. And as long as he prayed, God answered. I wonder, did Abraham really think, well, the battle's over, I don't need to pray any more than asking if there are 10 righteous. There are bound to be 10. People right with God in the city. There are bound to be 10. Now I can let off praying. I wonder what would have happened if he'd prayed for 5. If he'd got right down to Lot and said, Lord, if there's one, I wonder what the Lord would have said. All I know is, as far as Abraham went in prayer, God answered prayer. Take Moses in Exodus chapter 17. You have a wonderful picture of Israel on their way. And they have left Egypt. And they come to the valley of Rephidim. And some people are beginning to straggle. They're beginning to get tired. And as they straggle, the Amalekites come around the back and they start trying to cut off the rearmost of the people. It's battle stations all at once for a people, remember, who have spent hundreds of years without any experience of war. The Lord brought them this way instead of the direct way, lest they would actually get into battle too soon. And unless they would faint when they saw the great armies of the Philistines. So he took them this circuitous route to the Holy Land, that they may escape war. Here it comes. The Amalekites. What happens? Moses goes up to the top of the mountain to lift up his hands in intercession before God. And Joshua fights the battle with ill-prepared troops against an enemy who had chosen his spot and his time very well. And as Moses held up his hands, Israel prevailed. God answered prayer. Take the case of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. There's a wonderful thing there that Judah was faced with a coalition of nations. There's nothing new in what's happening in the Middle East. There was a coalition then. The Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites were all together to destroy Judah. And Jehoshaphat prays. God inspires Jehaziel to answer. Now here's the prayer. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Lord, we're looking to thee to do something and to deliver us here. That was the prayer. Now verse 15, verse 17 of 2 Chronicles 20. Here's the promise. Jehaziel said, Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Verse 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go you out against them, for the Lord will be with you. That was the promise. Now the performance, verse 22. When they began to sing and to praise the Lord, and the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Now, it's easy to read that, but put yourself in Jehoshaphat's place. What could he do but pray? Outnumbered, outgunned, as we would say, outmaneuvered, he hadn't a hope in the world. The world has a way of saying that they would say he hadn't a prayer. But you see, that's where they were wrong. He had a prayer. He prayed, and God delivered. You can multiply examples. You think of Peter lying in prison in Acts chapter 12. The whole future of the work of God in jeopardy. James, already murdered. One of the leading apostles, one of Christ's inner three, already murdered. Peter scheduled for murder. And the people prayed. One of the few times, even in the early church, when the whole church prayed at one time. Prayer was made unto God without ceasing of the church for him. Acts chapter 12. What happened? God intervened and God led him out. So, the history of God's Word shows us that God answers prayer. Subsequent history gives striking testimonies. You can read some of the most wonderful statements from missionaries and servants of the cross. Many of you read the life story of George Mueller. If you haven't, you ought to. If it doesn't thrill your heart, then I think you'd better go see a cardiologist and make sure you have a heart. Because, mind you, that's a story of the mighty grace of God in answering prayer. And you get a man who won't make an appeal for money. He won't even make a list of needs known. And yet he has a number of orphanages with hungry children and not a bite of bread in the house. And when the kids come down seeing places set for breakfast and nothing at all to feed them, they wonder where's it coming from. Simply to be told, let us pray. Our Father has never failed us and never will. And before the prayer is finished, people who knew them not, moved of God that they couldn't sleep, were up in the night baking and preparing and bringing the food. That's God answering prayer. I read just recently of Charles Wesley getting a very different kind of answer to prayer. Wesley went to an English town to preach, and everybody in the town was ready to murder him. Literally, his life was in danger. He retired inside the house where he was staying, and they kept battering and battering at the door. He could be grateful that they were solid oak doors and not the things that they put on for doors nowadays, otherwise he'd have been a dead man. They couldn't get the door battered in. Hours went by, and he was up in the utmost room of the house praying, crying to God for his deliverance. And he heard men on the roof, beating their way through the roof, determined to have him out to lynch him. Who knows how it would happen? But God moved the leading magistrate of that town, who was leading the crusade against him, to get into the house, to speak to Wesley, to offer him a way out. If you promise, you'll never come back. The men are battering on the roof. The tiles are flying. Death is approaching. Wesley said, I will never promise that. for I intend to come back. He said, well, will you promise me you'll not come back at once? Well, he said, I can promise you that. I can't come back at once. I don't even know when I can come back. But I do intend to come back here before I die. I will be back. Good enough for me. And the magistrate let him out. We have Charles Wesley's hymns today because God answered prayer, moving even his enemies.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.